wasn't made to come. It's not a chore to be here. I hope you didn't sin so much last night you had to be here. So we're just glad you're with us. John, George, and glad to see you back. Y'all been, I don't know, you've been traveling, I guess? Is that what you've been doing? Yeah, all right. So glad to have y'all back. And all you traveling folks, I tell you what, just travel here and travel there and go here and go there. And I'm stuck here. So I hate y'all. Anyway, so glad to see you. We're going to talk this morning. First of all, I want to announce something. A lot of you know my good friend Mike Benfield, who's been here to help me some New Year's Eve services. He's a pastor. He pastors Caris Community Church over in West Iredale. They have, today is their first service. They have their own building, and that is absolutely wonderful. They had an anointing service last night. They invited me and Melanie too, so we went, and I'm so excited for them to have their own place, and it's off Sharon School Road, and just very happy for them. So they're having their first service right now. They're in Sunday school right now, so they'll be having their first worship at 11 o'clock. So I know he's excited, and he was just so emotional last night. And it brought back a lot of memories of our process of going from that fire department to this building, how special that was. So I know how that feels. We've been there and done that. So so happy for him. That's just great news. And they've got their own place. They can stay planning now and just grow that church. So I want to talk. I'm not going to have scriptures up here this morning for you. We have a little technical glitch we got to get fixed. I'm sorry we don't have scriptures for you, but we're going to be talking about something I think is very important. Does anybody watch the news much? Why? That's my next question. Why? I've got yeah. I've gotten the point with our media in this country that I absolutely am bewildered of what is important stories and what doesn't even get talked about. And so it got me thinking about how we don't need to let the distractions of what's happening on the news, distractions of what's happening out there, take our focus off Jesus. That's our focus, is Jesus. You know, we can get really fired up that they're promoting the death of a lion more than the death of babies. I understand that. And the lion shouldn't have been shot. I'm not somebody that says, oh, I hate animals. It should have been shot. I understand that. But my God, we're selling baby parts. Where's that story at? Where is that at, church? We got deflated footballs making headline news. I really don't care. I hate Tom Brady anyway, so it don't affect me. So we got deflated footballs making headline news. Are you kidding me? I mean, we got, you know, children being aborted, kids that are starving. We have crisis all over our world, and that's our headline, you know. And we got transgenders being heroes, and that's headlines. I mean, and so as I started seeing all these stories come out, all that's taking the focus off of what's important. The Bible says very clearly, church, that we are in this world, yes, but we are not of this world. We're supposed to be different. And I'm telling you, the church needs to start looking different again. Which means, guess what? You're going to be talked about and made fun of. Boo-hoo! You know how much I get made fun of? When you run into somebody you went to school with 25 years ago and they walk away, man, he's fat and bald. I remember it. They're making fun of me. So let them make fun of me for something important. Man, they believe in that Jesus stuff. Yes, hallelujah, yes. Well, they say they're a Christian. Yes, they're living different. Yes, we're supposed to be different. And the church should look different than the world does. We're not part of this system. What happens in Washington, D.C. does not affect what's already happened in the kingdom of God. It's not changed a thing. It doesn't matter who gets voted out or gets voted in. God's always in and will always be in. And nothing's changing that. He's always going to be king of my life and king of my kingdom and king of my family and king of my mind and king of my heart. That's who I serve. So that's the kingdom we should be in. And we get so fired up. I've almost come to the point, and I know I'm going backwards in this generation. And you IT guys and technical guys will be like, oh my gosh, he's going to the cave age. I've really considered, I mean, in my own life, the only reason I even have one is because of the ministry. I've considered just completely getting rid of my Facebook page completely. I get sick of what I see. It's distraction for me. I don't like what I see. And it's, whether you want to admit it or not, it's become pretty addictive. Because you scroll, I mean, how many times a day do we check our Facebook? Really think about that. Some of you check it before the service is over. You'll be back here sneaking See what's going on. Oh, my gosh, they're a Cracker Barrel right now. I wish I was a Cracker Barrel right now. But no, my preacher won't stop preaching. I mean, y'all, I get to see y'all texting. We're obsessed with it. But it's nothing but a distraction. We get so fired up about things that really, church, aren't going to change anything and don't affect us according to God's kingdom. Now, I understand we got to make a stand. I understand there's things that we have to stand for. But to get so fired up over things that really, you know what? Whatever law passes in this land, I'm still married to my wife. I've still got kids. I'm still paying my bills. I'm still living my life. I was able to go on vacation a week or so ago and enjoy that. And guess what? The government couldn't stop me from going to the beach. Them drones couldn't stop me from going down Highway 9. I made it. And if they want to view me and scope me out for laying out my trunks, go ahead. Get a good view, buddy. You want a piece of this, she said? Go ahead and scan me. We have so much that we're letting distract us. And the focus should be this. We as Christians are to be disciples and servants of God in this land. And we are to shine the love and light of Christ to everybody around us. And that's our mission as believers. As Christians, is to shine that light for God and not let distractions pull us backwards and keep us in a box, because distractions are horrible. I was on the phone with somebody. I was driving yesterday, Friday. I was driving. Me and Melanie I dropped Ashley off to Melanie. I had to go do something, and I was leaving. And so I get a phone call, and I'm on the phone talking to someone. Melanie calls me after I got off the phone. Well, she called me. I was on the phone. I called back. I said, "What do you need?" I was on the phone. She says, "Do you not see me?" "No." So after you left me, so I went the same way you did. Said I was right beside you, honking the horn, waving. Ashley's sitting there like, "Yeah, you was totally, totally never saw us." She says, "That shows me there you don't want to be on a phone when you're driving, because you was completely clueless." The point of that is this. That phone call distracted me to the point I don't see my wife right beside me in the traffic light. My daughter with her head out the window yelling at me and her laying on the horn. I'm clueless. Which should make you feel really good, because whoever called me, I was giving you all of my attention. Right? Cha-ching. The whole point is this. The distraction. I didn't see anything else around me because I was so distracted. I was focused, but I was also distracted by that phone call. When we let distractions get a hold of our lives, it takes us off course. We miss out on what's important. What was important in my little girl's head was out the window waving at me. And I missed that opportunity to put my head back out and wave back. I missed that. And so don't let the distractions of this life pull you away from the mission that's in front of you. And that is serving God no matter what comes down the pike. We'll get some scriptures. Turn with me to Philippians 3. Once again, I don't have it on the screen, so I'm sorry for that this morning. But Philippians 3. We're going to read what Paul says, and then we'll be in Hebrews 12. Just give you a heads up. Philippians 3 and then Hebrews 12. We're going to read verses 13 and 14 in Philippians 3. 13 and 14. This is Paul speaking. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forget those things which are behind, and I want to reach forth to those things which are before." Now, we're talking about focusing on God this morning. Get our focus back. There's too many things that are behind us that are pulling us in that direction. We got to forget what's behind us, church. We got to forget some of those things. Some of those things that keep holding us back. Some of those past guilts or shames or sins or failures or disappointments or whatever it is that we keep holding on to. And reach forward to what God has waiting on you ahead. Stop living backwards and start living forwards. It's a big difference. When we live backwards, we're missing out on all that God has for us. We can blame someone for 50 years of our lives or what's wrong with, and we're easy. All of us are easy to blame someone else for our issues. All of us. "Well, I had a bad mom, bad dad, bad wife, bad marriage, got bad kids, bad church, bad job, bad car," whatever. We blame everything. Instead of saying, you know what, it's time I get beyond that. God's got something better for me ahead of me than whatever was behind me. So I got to forget those things which have held me back, forget those things which have kept me entrapped and keep me in bondage, and move forward with my life. Because every day we live in the past, we are missing out on the present. Every single day. The past can rob us of years of joy and years of peace and years of production in our lives. Years of fruit we should be bearing, but we can't bear no fruit because we're still dead. And God's saying, yeah, you were dead. You once were dead. You once were lost, but now you are found, and now you are alive. Live like you're a tree that produces fruit and not a withered up bush. Live like God called you to live. You are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. They're over and they're gone. And behold, all things have become new. Time for a new start. Time to live forward. Time to look ahead and focus again on Jesus. Because church, his plan is much better than our national plan. His plan is much better than our personal plans. His plan's already been fulfilled. His plan's already been stamped. His plan's already been sealed. And if we'll look forward, we can have a part of everything God has waiting on us if we'll just go forward and grab it and take hold of it and quit letting the past and those things behind us keep us in bondage. Then he goes on to say this in the next verse, in verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark. There's a mark Paul was heading for. What was that mark? The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Each one of us that are believers in here have a prize waiting on us. That prize is that eternal life with Christ. And all the laws that change and all the junk in our lives and all the pressure and all the stress. I mean, we are in such a stressed generation. People have to work 2 or 3 jobs now to make it. I understand that. I totally got that. And we are so consumed and stressed with paying the bills and raising the kids and you know, holding our marriages together and all the things, keeping our cars fixed and our house repairs and all the stuff of life that just can come at you and just pull you and really distract you. And you find yourself, I'm doing this, I'm putting this fire out, and this fire out, but I've done nothing. I've really done nothing. It's kind of like, you know, y'all all got them people at work, maybe you're one of them, hope you're not, that always look busy but do nothing. They always look like they're doing something, but they're really doing nothing. You know, the boss comes by. Hey, morning, boss. So anyway, what I was saying about Monday night is, you know, we look busy, but we do nothing. Sometimes our life can be that way. We're busy, but are we accomplishing anything? Have we got any fruits to show for our labor? It's kind of like a man that works his whole life and has nothing to retire on. We've worked and worked and worked, but then we get to that magical age of 62, 65, 66, whatever it is, and we find out we have nothing in the bank. Spiritually speaking, that's how we live our lives sometimes. We live and we're producing and we're producing and we're working and we're working, but are we accomplishing anything? Focus again on what's important. The focus is focusing on Christ and his plan for our lives and not what the world says, not what the world is. Church, the world cannot take away what God has given me. Greater is he that's in me than that which is in the world. Greater is that Spirit of God. So no matter what comes down the pike, no matter what CNN lies, says, no matter what they talk about, it's not going to change who God is, what God has done for me already, and what God has in store for me ahead. Nothing's going to change that. It's not going to change it. All we do is get in arguments that produce nothing but animosity toward each other and fuel the fire. And that's why we are such a divided nation. Instead of saying, God, you know, God warned Israel many times, look, I'm your God. I'm the God of Israel. I'm the God of you. Look unto me. I'm your leader. I'm your king. I'm the one that you should be honoring and obeying. Keep my laws. Keep my commandments. And we start keeping the world's laws and world's commandments, we start abandoning God's many times because they conflict. Paul pressed toward a mark. He had a goal in mind, and the goal was the high calling of God. There's no higher calling than following God. There's no higher prize than what God has waiting on us. Don't get sucked into the system of all the negativity around us. Even in the negative world, we still are in this bubble called the Holy Spirit, which lives inside of us. And he can give us hope when there's hopelessness, and joy when there's no joy. He can give us power where fear tries to reign. He is the light where darkness invades. That's the God we serve. And God's not going to leave us, not going to abandon us. And if we'll follow him, and church, we are in the minority and more in the minority as time moves forward, as time goes on. The true Christian man, the true Christian woman. And what I mean by that is not someone that says they're saved. Everybody's saved, church. My God, I've done some, everybody saved. I mean, I've done so many funerals and through the years and different people went to family members and I knew how they lived. Oh, yeah, they saved. They knew, yeah, they saved. They are. They in heaven. You know, they saved. Lived like the devil. I mean, they had horns. They couldn't get the casket closed because the pitchfork kept sticking up. I mean, you know, yeah, they saved. Everybody saved. Go to work tomorrow. Hey, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. You'll find very few will say, I ain't saved. I don't believe in God. I hate God. I'm a devil worshiper. Very few will say that. Everybody saved. All God's children saved. Hallelujah. Everybody saved. We know everybody's not saved. People, you can believe in God, but not believe in God, if you know what I'm saying. You can believe, yeah, there's God, but you don't live like there's a God. What's the old saying, old timers used to say, proof in the pudding? There's proof in the pudding. You know, my grandma would say, I make the best banana pudding in North Carolina. And you know what? I can say she's probably pretty close to right because I've had the pudding. And I've ate it. And I've tried it. And the proof's in grandma's pudding. I ain't got to take nobody's word for it. I've tasted it. When you've tasted the goodness of God, when you've tasted his grace, when you've tasted his mercy, when you've tasted his forgiveness, when you've been in his presence and you have felt his Holy Spirit come upon your flesh and upon your life and inside of you and illuminated your darkness, there's nobody that can talk you out of it that he is not real and that God is not alive. Nobody. And me and George Ann's the only two that know that. That's sad. I got my work cut out for me this morning. Glory to God. When you've tasted it, church, you know that it's real. And so as Christians, as his people, let's live like his people. Let's walk like his people. Everything in the world shouldn't get us. And I'm preaching to myself too, church. I'm so on my own toes this morning. We shouldn't let the things of the world shatter us so much that we stop living like we're saved. And what I mean is, I'm talking about the going out sin. I'm talking about living by faith. Living by faith. We understand, the Bible's pretty clear about this world, if you've not read the Bible. Let me clue you in. All the stuff we see is going to pass away, because it's all temporal. It's all going to pass away anyway. None of it's permanent. The Bible says the one thing that will not pass away is my word. The word of God will not pass away. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word, not one part of my word, is going to ever pass away. What I've said is done. It is settled. It is finished. And nothing can change what I have said or done or been. I'm who I said I am and I always will be. The world can't ever change that. So don't let distractions pull us away from focusing on what's important. Sometimes we lose our faith because we see how our generation's going. I hate how our generation's going. I hate what I'm seeing. It bothers me. It grieves me. Yes, we still care because we live here, and I have children that are growing up in a generation that I don't even recognize, and I'm not that far removed from it. I'm one generation removed from my children, and I can hardly recognize what they're living in, and it grieves me, and it saddens me. But I also understand this, that I'm covered by the hands of a holy God. He upholds me with his right hand. He upholds my children with his right hand. The same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God of Jamie, Christian, and Ashley, and that I know. He is the same God, and he faileth not. He walks among us as he did back then. He's in us as he was back then. He's on the throne as he was back then. And nothing has changed that. And nothing will ever change that. And they cannot silence the words God's already spoken. They can't undo what God's already written. They can't change what God's already established. It is done. It is finished. It is what it is. The I am is still the I am. I am still the author of all things. I am still the Alpha and Omega. I am still the beginning, and praise God, I'm still the end. I am still the resurrection, and I am still the life. I'm still the one that raised Lazarus, and I will still raise you in due time. I'm still that God. That's who we serve. So when we know who God is, why do we fear? Why do we stress? Why do we worry? I don't say we go around like, you know, the warthog and Lion King where there's no issues. Hakuna Matata. We don't live a Hakuna Matata life. There's issues we got to handle. You know, we have to work. All right? We have to have a job. There's no free ride, so to speak. I mean, there is a free ride. I can't find the right terminal. But there's a free ride somewhere. But anyway, there's really no free ride. So we have to address things, and we have to live out our lives, but we can't let it consume us to where it takes us off the focus of Jesus and our mission and our purpose and, more importantly, our destiny. Do you realize when God called the children of Israel to be delivered from Egypt and he called Moses, he had a plan, and the plan was the promised land. Now, if I had a map up here on the screen, here's, you know, Egypt, and the promised land wasn't very far away. We're talking Statesville to Charlotte. I don't know. Not very far away. But the journey they took, instead of going from here to here, they went, boom. See, God knew the plan. And though their journey, which took 40 years, should have just took, you know, a few weeks, a few months, took 40 years, guess what? The same end result happened. They arrived just like God said they would. They ended up exactly where God said they would. It wasn't in their timing, but it was the exact destination, and God kept his promise. God's got a promise for us. He said that one day we will wear a crown. Paul says, I fought the good fight, I've kept the faith, now there is laid up a crown of righteousness for me, and not only for me, but for all them who love his appearing. So guess what? Each one of us, our crown's waiting. John, your crown's waiting, brother. Cover that buzz head. That crown's waiting. It'll look good, that beard. It's like King Solomon. He'll have that crown. When will he get that crown? Nobody knows. Nobody knows when we'll receive our crown, but each one of us, that crown is reserved in heaven. The Bible says that our inheritance is reserved in heaven. It's waiting for us. It's just waiting for our arrival. So it's important we stay focused on what's important. The world can't take John's crown away. You understand that? Once our name is written in the Lamb's book of life, the Bible says it is sealed. And the one that breaks those seals is Jesus, the Son of God, who opens that book to reveal that our name has been penned in this eternal book. And nothing can change that. We have a lot better future than we have a past, church. Much better. That's why we need to be looking forward and quit looking backwards. Yeah, and I'm bad about that too. I think about all the past stuff, past mistakes, past failures, you know, past problems, past stress. And all that does is keep us stressed now. As the movie Frozen says, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. We got to let it go. If you've not seen that movie, it's a wonderful movie. I love it. And yes, I'm a 44-year-old man that loves Disney movies. That's okay. I'm still a man. Y'all just test me. I'll show up. Me and Melanie go on date nights. We go see Disney movies. It's the only thing worth watching. It's clean. Let it go. Say, God, I want to go forward to what you have for me. Because you have something waiting on me. Very beautiful. And I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize and what's important to obtain the goal. Now turn to Hebrews 12. I want to read a couple verses in Hebrews 12. Verses 1, 2, 3. Hebrews is on back past Philippians a few books. Hebrews 12, 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, we are compassed with a great cloud of with all the saints of God before us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, get us off course, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us lay aside all the stuff that keeps us from fully running the race. You know, professional bikers, ones that do it for a living, that race bikes, those bikes are so light, you could about pick them up with one finger. These bicycles that weigh nothing. You know why they weigh nothing? The lighter the bike, the faster the flight. That's pretty good. Let's make that up. Anyway, the lighter the bike, the faster it goes. You know, when a plane is not doing good in the air, they start saying, ditch all the weight, right? Make it lighter. Get the weight off. When a boat's sinking, get the weight off. Get the weight off. Weight weighs everything down. Weight is not good. We know that. If some of us look in the mirror, we realize weight's not a very good thing. Weight makes everything worse. Weight brings stress. Weight brings problems. Weight keeps us down. And Paul was saying, or whoever wrote Hebrews, it wasn't Paul necessarily, the author in Hebrews is saying, lay aside anything that's causing you not to run the race effectively. What's messing us up? Why are we not running effectively? Why are we not focused? Because other things are pulling us away from that focus. All the saints of God, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses who have done it. Can you imagine Peter and Paul and Matthew and Luke and all them boys up there saying, I ran that race. I'm here. I arrived. You run that race. Mary, you keep running. TJ, keep running. It's worth the race. You're going to be where I'm at. Just keep focused. I'm here to encourage you. I've done that. I've ran that course, and I finished that course. It's a real course that ends in a real way, just like the Bible says. But we got to run it with patience. We can't let things patience. We got to run with patience. Remember the old Bugs Bunny turtle cartoon where they did the race, you know, Bugs Bunny and the tortoise, you know. And of course, I know the turtle cheated, but it had a good point. Bugs Bunny was all cocky and arrogant, you know, and he took a nap, you know, and eating and that, what did that little turtle do? Just steady as she goes. Just steady. That's how our pace should be. Steady as she goes. Just steady and straight and focused and not letting the world get us off the race God has set before us. Church, there are people that need our witness. They need our light. They need the hope we can give them through the word. They need that person in their life that helps bring them out of darkness. And if we are so distracted by our own weights and things that we're allowing us to get us off course, we can't help those folks. We're too much in our own pity party or our own trap that we can't help nobody else. But we are called to run this race with diligence and with a vision of what is at the finish line. Crossing that line, just like Paul said, that I fought my fight, I finished my course. We still got some more running to do. We still got a race before us. We still got to stay on track. The world is evolving and changing rapidly, more and more rapidly, year by year, changing, changing, changing. But the path God has set for us remains the same. We stay steadfast. Now, I love verse 2. As I was reading this and studying this, God gave me a revelation on verse 2. Maybe you already know this, but just it blessed me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. What does an author do? He creates something. It wouldn't be in existence if there wasn't an author. There would be no Gone with the Wind book without an author. An author creates something. Jesus created our salvation. Jesus created it. He created it through the cross. He created our redemption plan. He created reconciliation. He created justification. He created sanctification. He created glorification. He was the author. He was the creator of our faith. In other words, we would not have had a hope or a chance of salvation without Christ. And not only did he create it, he's the finisher of it. He's going to finish what he created. He created a salvation plan. He's going to finish that for us. He completed that for us. And each one of us, we cross that finish line, receive that crown, we'll see the finished work that this author created. That what he said, he did. He started it, he finished it. He wrote it, he said it, he fulfilled it. And he is the creator of my faith. Not the world, not a church, not a pastor. Jesus is the creator of my faith. And if we know he's the author, the creator, that he penned my salvation with his own blood, and that he wrote out the redemption plan through his death and resurrection, and that he is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, the start and the last, there's nothing that was done without God, there's nothing going to be done without God. He consumes all time, all space, and I know Our human minds cannot process, cannot fathom the spiritual dimensions that God is in and that God has. But just as real as this world seems to us, the next rim will seem even more real and more natural than this rim. You know why? Because we were created for that rim. And we will one day fulfill what we were created for. It's kind of like when you find your niche. Find that right job. That's why I was made. I mean, each one of us have a thing. You know, my mom was in sales most of her life. My mom's a good salesperson. That's her thing. She could sell, you know, swamp water to, you know, what else, a Texas cowboy or whatever. I mean, you know, she's a good salesman. There's politicians that are really good at that. I mean, you know, there's some that are the best liars of all. That's why they're good at it. I mean, they're just good. You know? Rod been a truck driver more than 20 years. And he drove his whole life. So I was a little boy. Rod been a truck driver. Everybody can't drive a truck. You would not want me an 18-wheel. I would be crying like a little girl. There ain't no way I could drive a rig. I mean, that ain't my thing. It's not my thing. Making them turns and back. I mean, Lord have mercy. I can barely back up my carport straight with a Jeep. I mean, can you imagine? I went on one road trip with him, 4-day road trip to Oklahoma, and realized I'm not a truck driver. Roger said, nah, really? Yeah, I'm not a truck driver. Everybody, you find that niche, is like, this is what I was created to do. My daughter was going to be a school teacher. She got one more year. Since she was about 10, 11 years old, that's been her thing. I want to teach. She's always, always, that's her thing. She knows that's what she was created to do, was to teach. It's when you find that niche and you know what you were created to do, you're like, oh, yes, this is it. This is what I was made to do. Well, God has called us into salvation, and we were created to be His children. And that's why it feels right. That's why it feels right when you're in church. It feels right when you pray to God. It feels right when you serve God, because you were created for this. You were called by His name, created for His service. You were meant to be a soldier, not of the Marines, but in the army of the Lord. You were created to be a soldier in His army. In God's army, not man's army, God's army. And the Bible says to endure hardness as a soldier of the Lord. Endure it. We have to face it, and we walk it, and we carry it out, and we move forward, because that's what God called us to do. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, because the joy that God saw ahead, all about being forward, church, He endured the cross. He endured the cross because God looked ahead, not behind. He looked ahead. He didn't look back at man's failures. He looked at man's redemption. He didn't look behind at what man had done wrong. He looked ahead to see how man could do right by the blood being spilt. Because the joy God saw ahead, He saw me. He saw Carrie. He saw Margot. He saw us. And for that joy of what was to come, the plan of salvation brought so much joy into God that Christ endured that cross and paid that price, and it was worth it. Just like a mother giving birth. The pain is horrible, they say. The pain is bad, they say. And thank God I don't have to ever endure that. But once that child is birthed, and once mama sees that little 6-7 pound baby in her arms, all the remembrance of pain is erased and goes away and says, it was so worth it to hold this child. It was worth it. I know literally don't go away. I'm just saying, you're not focused on that. You're not focused on the pain anymore. You're like, oh, she got my eyes. It's just amazing how that happens. Because all of a sudden, yeah, it was hard labor. It was, but man, was it worth it to have this child. God was the same way. The cross was painful. Not even just physically painful, church. The cross was such an emotional pain that we can't understand. An emotional pain. The earth was dark for 3 hours. Literally, in the daytime, the earth grew dark for 3 hours while He was on the cross because of the wrath and the judgment of sin. It choked out the light of the earth. It was such a painful crucifixion in all ways. But He said because of what He saw before Him, ahead of Him, the joy it was going to bring, He endured the cross. He was focused on finishing the course. Jesus was. And now he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Every time you get weak, think about the cross. Every time you want to give up, think about the cross. Every time you're ready just to let go of the rope, think about what Jesus did for you and the price that he paid and the plan that he had made for you and the reward that's waiting on you. I mean, man, we'll do so much for things in the world. I mean, you know, if I said, look, everybody that stays here till, what time is it now? That clock's not right. 11 o'clock. If I said, okay, everybody stays here to 1 o'clock, if you'll stay here to 1 o'clock, each one would get $1,000. Y'all would find a way to stay here. Most of you, now some of you would be, yeah, I don't need no $1,000. Well, sure. Most of you, if you really knew, if I was up here, so I've got $1,000 cash to give every person who'll sit here till 1 o'clock today. Y'all would skip lunch. You'd just growl. You would smoke under your seat. You'd do whatever you had to do, but you wouldn't leave this room. I want my $1,000. You know why? I can endure that dry preacher. I can endure that boring sermon. I can endure looking at his face for 2 more hours to get that $1,000, boy. And you'd be sitting there, man, $1,000. I can pay off this, or I can go to the beach, or I can go to the casino, or I could do this, or, man, I could go down and, man, I go down and have me a good time. I could get that. Man, how many pack of cigarettes I get for $1,000? Man, I could get, good gosh almighty. Well, y'all be having all kinds of thoughts. And you would stay. Because you say, you know what? The $1,000 is worth enduring this sermon. It's worth it. I bet I even told TJ. Now, TJ's a Duke Blue Devil fan. Pray for him, please. But I bet you, if I told TJ, you know what? I'll give you $1,000 today if you will denounce Duke in front of this church. He might have to think about that. $1,000. You wouldn't do that. That's a fan right there. So we would do a lot if we knew what was before us. So God is saying, look, I knew what was before me, and that was my people being redeemed. That was my people being saved from their sins. My people. You know, I heard a preacher on the radio yesterday, and I totally disagreed with it. It really upset me. And as a preacher I was hearing, and he was talking about keeping God's commandments. And said, you know, a lot of preachers talk about grace, and they say you can't keep God's commandments. Why Jesus died? Because none of us can keep all the law. But with the power of God, we can do all things. We can. And I know his point of, you know, yes, we can do all things through Christ. But he was making a point that, you know, yes, if we're strong enough, we can keep the law. Well, church, that's wrong. We cannot. There's no way any of us can keep all the laws of God. That is why Jesus came. And that's why he made this plan. Because he knew we could not get to heaven on our own merits or on our own abilities. That we have to have a advocate. We had to have a sacrificial lamb that took our place, that erased all of our past, all of our sins, all of our failures, and now we can have peace and trust in him that he did all the work and we get all the benefits, that he went the cross and died and rose that we could live forevermore. And that's what God did for us. So stay focused and keep focused on him. Keep focused. Don't let this world and all the media and all the news and all the stories, because I'm telling you, I was a big news buff. I really was. And I would get on her nerves talking about it and stuff. I get fired up, and she didn't see it my way, so I get more fired up. You know, I don't know how that works. And so I'll be like, you know, and finally I'm like, you know, I just can't keep doing this because, I mean, it does no good. I'm not accomplishing anything venting and mailing about it. You know, I'm not accomplishing anything. And so I had to realize that all this is a distraction to upset me and get my spirit all worked up over something that doesn't affect me in the end. Not in the end. It may affect some now. And I know there's things that are going to affect us now. I realize that. I know taxes affect us now. We hate paying taxes. I understand that. Christian got a check from her school. She's like, they took this vote. I said, well, that's nothing. That's only, I mean, believe it'll be a lot more when you get an adult. That's nothing. And, you know, she was so upset about that, having that money taken out. I was like, yep, that's, you know, we got to pay taxes, you know. There's things that do affect us. You know, there's things that we're going to have to stand for, and there's things that do get me worked up. But I'm going to try to let the things that get me worked up be spiritual and not natural. And so if we could just stay focused on what's important, sharing the love of God, being his servants, and running the race set before us. You know, there's so many times we let people mess us up. We let people just dictate our lives and rule us. Get rid of those people, man. Cut them out of your life. I'm not saying you got to be ugly or mean to them. Just don't let them have that control over you anymore. There's some people that have such a control on your life, they dictate your mood, dictate your actions. Say, you know what, I've got to let that go, cut them away, because they're nothing. They're like a disease spreading in my life, and they just keep me sick all the time, and I've got to cut that out. Nothing wrong with that, church. Don't let that affect. Don't let anything distract you off from what God's called you to do. Because the devil will use many ways and many sources. He'll use our money to distract us. He'll use our bills to distract us. He'll use our family to distract us. He'll use a lot of things. He'll use our broke down car to distract us. And we get all upset. You know, Lord, mercy. I've had so many broke down cars. I should just walk. But I mean, that's just life. That happens. I don't like it. I mean, I hate car bills. You got to get a little sensor put in, $250. Are you kidding me? It's a little sensor, okay? $250? All right. It's life. I don't like it, but it's what it is. So I'm going to stay focused, get my Jeep fixed, and drive on to y'all's house to see you. That's all I can do. You know, that's all I can do. So just don't get distracted by what's around us. And don't blow up Facebook with stuff that just, the anger and wrath that just, I mean, you know, go see Obama. I mean, go talk to him. That's who you need to talk to, or the government or senator. Go drive in their driveway. Say, look, here's what I don't like. You know, you get shot. But I'm just saying, vent it to the one that needs to be vented to. Your government officials, not just on, don't change anything. Don't change nothing. Just gets us worked up and distracted. So stay focused and keep focused on what's before you, and that's the prize. And man, the prize is Jesus is our prize. And each one of us one day, church, when our time comes that our breath leaves our natural body, that we can celebrate the end of our salvation. Yes, I'm here, Lord, in your kingdom forevermore. I'm in your presence. And all that world and all that stuff's passed away. It means nothing. I can't hold on to nothing. All that let go. And now I'm just in your presence. That's what's important. And that's why as we get older, we get more homesick. You have to understand that, being homesick, you know. I know my kids don't think about that at all. But as you get older, you start thinking about the eternal kingdom. As you get a little older, you start thinking about the other side. What's on the other side for me? What's next? Because you see your human existence, your season here coming to a close. And you're like, what's next for me? What you got for me, God? And man, when you can focus on what he has for you, you can go out dancing. You can go out shouting. You can just let go with complete peace. Yes, Lord, my life is in your hands. Glory to God. Stay focused. Just stay focused. Quit getting worked up over stuff that don't really affect God's people. I mean, it's going to be all right. All right, ushers, you'll come up and receive our offering this morning. We do have some August announcements, but I can't play them on my computer this morning. We've got a glitch going on, but we'll have those for you next week. Father, we thank you for this your words of encouragement today. We thank you, Lord, that you have established a prize for each of us, that the course has already been set for us, and that there is an end result for your people that the world can't stop or can't change. But Lord, sometimes we do get distracted. Sometimes our focus is on things it shouldn't be on, and we're missing out on what you have for us. Let us not miss out on those opportunities, Lord. Let us see every moment of opportunity you have for us. Let us serve you with faith. Our faith is not in man. Our faith is not in world government. Our faith is in you, God. You're the author and finisher of our faith, and we serve you first among all kings. You're first, God. You said, let there be no other gods before you. And Lord, we bow our knee to you today as being the only God, the only one true God of the universe. Lord, I pray for the offering today that you bless the seed that is sown and use it for your glory. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.